Fourth and final hour here on this Tuesday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you. Let's head over to the campus, Belmont. Let's bring in their basketball coach, Casey Alexander. Casey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Fantastic. You had any run-ins in the handshake line over the years?
We almost did, actually, this year.
Really? Oh, tell us about it.
But not something I want to make a big deal about. And I should say, we didn't have any run-ins in the handshake line, but we had some with about 2 seconds to go at St. Louis. I called timeout with about 2.5 seconds to go, and their coaches didn't like it a whole lot.
Okay, why is there, you know, we always hear in baseball, you know, the unwritten rules, and I don't know what we call it in basketball, but it seems like stuff like, you know, pressing late, you know, full court pressing late, or you know, calling timeouts seem to rub people the wrong way. What is proper? What do you think about all of that when people get upset over that stuff?
I mean, the main thing is we all just have different opinions on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and coaches talk all the time about controlling what you can control. And, you know, my job is to coach my team and make sure we're doing what I want them to do. And I have very little regard for what the other team is doing or how they're handling their business. And so, you know, I think as long as things are done in good faith, I mean, you know, we're not trying to show anybody up. We're not trying to cause any controversy or rub anything in. I'm trying to make sure our guys don't screw up the last play. and it's the only reason to call timeout. And, you know, and I think that's what all the Wisconsin coach was doing over the weekend, you know. And then the other part that's been lost, I mean, if Michigan is willing to pressure full court and trap and try to turn you over, I'm not sure why Wisconsin has an obligation to quit playing while Michigan is doing that. So interesting conversation.
If they were to ask you, I'm just going to start with you, and then I know I'm going to ask you to speak for everybody else, but you talk to all these other coaches, that just maybe what your vibe, what you're feeling. But let's start with you because your opinion matters. If they just came up to you and said, Coach, handshake line after games, keep it or do away with it, what would your vote be?
Yeah, keep it. I've never thought
okay.
anything other.
Okay.
You know, until the last couple of days when it was really brought up, but I mean, there's no reason not to keep it. We all know how to behave, and, you know, we all know how to behave within the game, but sometimes that gets out of hand too, you know. So it's not like you quit playing the game because somebody, you know, threw a punch or something. You just pick up where you left off and move on.
Do you think most coaches would feel the same as you?
I think so, but I think at the same time, I think most coaches think that there still needs to be a level of sportsmanship and professionalism. You know, that's the way we ought to handle business. But at the same time, I think most of us, you know, last year we had COVID, and so, of course, you couldn't cross paths with anybody, you know, at the grocery store or in the handshake line or anywhere else. And so we all survived that just fine. It was no big deal when we didn't do it last year, but that was COVID-related.
So I remember asking you at the beginning of the season about your schedule, and it was not easy. And I was just looking at KenPom here the last couple of days, and I think you guys were like top 30 or whatever, 31, something like that, in your non-conference schedule. And I think you even laugh like, well, you know, I'm not sure. Ask me after it's done if I liked it or not. So now that it's done, you know, what did you make of your schedule early on out of conference?
Yeah, I mean, it was as difficult as we thought it would be, and it's even – I saw something a week or so ago. I think we were the fifth most difficult schedule out of teams that were in the top 100.
Okay.
You know? And so, you know, a lot of those in that top 30 that you're talking about, those end up being teams that have to play 6, 7, 8 guarantee games, you know, SWAC and MEAC schools that have to raise a lot of money, and so they naturally play a really tough schedule. But out of the teams that have a good, you know, that are in the top 50 or 100, we played about as good a schedule as anybody in the country. So it was tough. I mean, I think it prepared us well, but it was a lot. I mean, I really felt like we had some mental fatigue more than physical fatigue when we started conference play. I'm not sure we've ever really recovered from it, honestly. And it may sound like whining a little bit, and it probably is, but it was a pretty tough little grind.
Well, your team has won 10 in a row, so what's been going on in this winning streak?
Well, that's nice to say and hear, and I wouldn't, you know, it's way better than any alternative. 10-0 is better than any of the alternatives.
But, is there a butt coming?
I don't think we've played great.
I don't think
we've played great. You know, I told our team even last week, I said, you know, it's we want to win, you know, but there are very few times in these 10 games where I've walked back in the locker room and thought we had it all together. And so I think that's good news there in the sense that we can continue to get better, and there's a lot of improvement out there for us.
Now, Coach, obviously the Ohio Valley, you're number two, you're sitting number two in the conference right now. And a lot of it, you know, as far as getting into the tournament, is based on what you do inside your own tournament. Would you like to see the rules change where, you know, maybe the automatic guy or team gets in, and then the next following team, if the record's comparable and your strength of schedule, which yours is hard, then they get in also?
I mean, would I like it? Yeah, in our current circumstance, yeah, I would like it. You know, but there's two sides to all those stories. You know, as soon as you start saying a Belmont deserves to get in, well, you got to turn around and explain to, you know, Florida why they didn't get in, or whoever that Power Five might be that's also on the bubble, and they've got just as much of a compelling argument, maybe a different argument, but it's just as compelling. So. You know, we all have a chance to get our set to earn our way in. It's much, much, much more difficult for a team like Belmont playing in the OVC than it is, you know, a team like Mississippi State, for example, that literally just got their first road win Sunday, you know, but they're on the bubble. They got their first road win. We've got 10 road wins. I think that's third in the country right now, you know, but they're ahead of us. So you do the math.
We're talking to Coach Casey Alexander from the Belmont Bruins. Big game coming up Thursday against Murray State, and those are two of the leaders right now in the OVC. Casey, I want to go back to something that I know was a theme to start the season. You have all of these seniors that have been with your program for a long time, all chose to come back. And you were just talking about, you know, you had that early season tough schedule. Now you've got the regular season. You said maybe your A game hasn't been there. How has it been for the seniors who have been through this so many different times? You know, the word senioritis has been out there for, you know, a lifetime. Do you think there was a little bit of that? Do you think they're ready to now gear up now that they sort of see the finish line and where the season's going to come down to?
It's a good question. I think senioritis is a real thing. I know that it is because we've had a couple of our teams in the past that have experienced that. We go to the NCAA tournament in 2006, 2007, and 2008 and return virtually our whole team in 2009 and don't win the regular season or the conference tournament. So that's a specific year that I could give you. I don't think there's been any complacency with this group. I think they've practiced really hard. I think they've come to work every day. I think they've been great leaders. I think they've been really good for Belmont. So I don't sense any of that. You know, this year has been really strange in a sense that our league has been top-heavy with Belmont, Murray, and Moorhead clearly being the best three teams in the league if you evaluate performance basically by any measure. You know, and those games have been tough. We're 1-3 in those games right now. And then in all the other games that we've played, which I guess would be, you know, like 15 other conference games, I think our margin of victory is closer to 20. You know, so it's just been a really strange year in the sense that when we haven't played those teams, you know, things have gone somewhat easy. Not every game, of course, but somewhat if you look at it in its totality.
Also, you've got a really good crop of non-seniors, right, that have come in, and a lot of them having really, really good years for you. So the balance between, you know, the guys that have been in the program and the guys who are a little bit newer, how has that balance been? Because depth is a great thing, obviously, but you've got to define roles.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And you take Ben Shepherd as case study number one. He's not one of those seniors, but he's our leading scorer. And since this team started its work back in June together, he's probably been our best player from then until now. And that's with a couple of really high-level players that are seniors. And, you know, and then you take a guy like Will Richard, who's a true freshman, you know, and we return all five starters from last year's team and 97% of our minutes, but, you know, he's been starting since game number three. And, you know, so he's been a nice addition as well. But, you know, it just goes to show you why, when you're talking about it, and you know, in the summer or preseason, and polls come out and everything else, you just never know what's going to happen. Caleb Hollander, he's probably started 50 plus games for us over his career. He started every game last year, just about, and you know, he's hardly played this year. He's been out with a season-ending and career-ending injury since Christmas. You know, so things happen. We all know that. That's why each team takes on a life of its own.
Give us the scouting report on on Murray State? Obviously, 26-2. You know, a program. Just the casual basketball fan hears Murray State, and in every given year, it seems like they're always very, very good. What about this particular Murray team?
Yeah, the worst case scenario for me as the coach trying to get ready for the game. They are they're really well coached. They are really talented, and they play really hard. So it's a bad combination to try to walk in to the toughest place in the OVC to play and win a game. But you know, a lot of times when teams at our level crack the top 25 like they've done, I think they're sitting at 19 this week. It's more of a longevity thing. It's hey, you may not really be one of the best 25 teams in the country, but you haven't lost in a long time, and over the course of weeks and months, everybody else loses, so you can move your way up there. But in Murray's case, I legitimately think they're one of the best 25 teams in the country. I mean, they're a really talented group, could beat anybody. You go neutral floor in the NCAA tournament, they can beat anybody they play.
Mm. Before we let you go, we talked to your colleague, of course, longtime compadre, Scott Corley, about, you know, the future of Division I basketball, really the future of Division I athletics. But for you guys, you know, centering on basketball, it's such an important thing. You guys are changing conferences next year. Casey, I know it's so hard. There's so many different ways this thing can go, and you're focused on the game on Thursday. But do you have a vision of where you'd like to see Belmont down the road fitting into whatever changes might be coming?
Yeah, I think it's premature. And first of all, hey, we got to keep it professional. He's my boss, all right? He's not my friend, compadre.
Right.
He's my boss.
Okay.
No, but
from a professional standpoint, no question.
It's premature. Naturally, you know, there's going to be a trickle down effect, you know, from Power Fives and then eventually to the Belmonts of the world. And you know, what happens between now and then, you know, is a little bit too much throwing darts for me. I do know it's going to be impacted. I mean, I think the changes that are happening, you know, you could argue are good for the kids, no doubt about that. You know, definitely gives them some exposure and freedoms and money and everything else that you could rightfully say that they deserve. But it makes my job a lot tougher. I'd be willing to admit that. There's not really any changes out there that are happening that make me more excited about coming to work at Belmont every day.
Hmm. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Casey, good luck on Thursday. I'll certainly tell your boss next time I talk to him that you had full respect for his position in the universe.
Right, yes. And tell him I was in early today, all right?
Okay, sounds good. I'll tell him you clocked in right on time. Yeah, early. Very, very good stuff. Casey, good to talk to you. As always, good luck on Thursday.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, that's Casey Alexander, head coach, Belmont Bruins. Big, big regular season matchup at Murray, one of the toughest places to win. And you get the feeling whoever wins that game, they're going to face each other probably again in the OVC tournament, you would think.
Yeah, there'd be one and two.
Yeah. But that's the big one is coming up in the conference tournament, of course. But this one always worth watching for sure on Thursday. Okay, let's go to the break. I will start it off by telling you about, if I can go back, which one am I doing? Yes, it will be Loan Pronto. I will tell you that, of course, Loan Pronto has the formula for you to take advantage of the atmosphere that's out there financially. Your home value is way up. Mortgage rates are still way down, and you can put that to use for you with a home equity loan from Loan Pronto. It's a super easy process now. It's digital. It works very, very fast. It's streamlined, and you'll be done in around 2 weeks with no cost to you, zero hassle. Lots of people are doing this. They're taking money out of their home's equity, turning it into cash in as little as 2 weeks, and then you can use it wherever you want to use it. You can use it to pay off credit card bills. You can use it to pay off other debts. Maybe it's college tuition, whatever it might be for you. You can take your money from your home's equity and use it to your advantage. Or you can reinvest in your home, make it even more valuable by upgrading your kitchen, your bathroom, your patio, whatever the case may be. You can lock in that APR in the twos, lower your monthly bills by hundreds of dollars, and you can do it now and even skip your next two house payments. It's all with Loan Pronto, 615 499-5780. That's 615-499-5780 or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS, 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
Is this Lionel Richie?
Nope.
All night long?
Kind of sounds
similar,
like it.
All
no.
night long. No? Oh, okay. That sounded like Lionel Richie. I got to be honest.
Yeah, for a quick second it did.
Did it not sound like All Night Long?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Willie.
Is this the Rolling Stone?
This is the Rolling Stone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But start to think about – okay, so can you – I'll read something. Mm-hmm. You come up with All Night Long, Elijah, and let's play the beginning of that. I want to hear that, okay? But right
slightly
now –
slightly different.
Know,
I think you'll notice.
Is this it? Is this All Night Long?
This is not All Night Long.
Oh. It sounds like it.
Why? I wanted you to play All Night Long. Yeah, play All Night Long. I want to hear if I'm just
you
making
hear
this up. Yeah, I want to hear
yeah,
if I'm making this up or not.
I mean, we know.
I was like, if that's All Night Long, that sounds exactly the same.
Darren, you would have jumped in early on Name That Tune and been wrong.
Yep.
And then Derek and I would have been racing to get the next one. Yeah.
And I would have been so proud. Too. I was like, I got this. I got it. All Night Long, Lionel Richie. Oh, man.
You'd have been that guy.
I would have been the one. You know those guys that like think the harder they press the button, the quicker that gets them in. You know, like I would just be beating on the button.
All right, here's All Night Long.
Okay.
Yes, same beat.
Tell me that
similar.
Is
similar. Yeah,
that's the same. Now it changes after a while, but the drums.
The very beginning. Give me the very beginning again, Elijah. Let's hear the beginning. You tell me this doesn't sound like what we just heard.
Yeah, this is
similar.
The
very
first
similar.
One.
I could see how you get fooled.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. I feel better about it. I feel what? Like that was. I'd like to see Lionel Richie.
So what you're
by
saying
the way.
Is someone has a case in court here.
That has
Ooh,
happened.
Yeah,
that has happened.
Hey, unless
many
they,
times.
Unless they wrote out the check beforehand. Then you ain't
yep,
got a case.
Right. You pay that sampling fee.
Exactly. Then you ain't got a case. Yeah.
Vanilla Ice found out the wrong way or the hard way. That's for sure.
Mm. Yep.
A lot of other artists did saying, too.
Yeah,
as well.
A lot of people. A lot of people found out the hard way. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a new concept. Somebody getting sued for being basically either stealing what they had or way too close. You can make a case. Hey, that's my stuff.
I guess their theory is, hey, we apologize later.
Well, that's how some feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll apologize later.
Money.
Yeah.
Yep.
It may cost us a couple of chips, but so be it. So be it.
There was one great interview from Vanilla Ice kind of making the case that they had made that his beat was different. He says, if you really listen close, it's just very slightly different. And they're like, nah, no, not buying it. It cost them.
Actually, no, that's not true.
It's like, no, it's really not.
The more you tell yourself doesn't mean that you're right. No, actually, that's not true.
You're forcing yourself to hear something that isn't there.
You're convincing yourself, we get it, but not true. So we didn't talk extensively. We talked about it a little bit, but mm-hmm. now that we've seen the penalties doled out, and I asked Casey Alexander about the handshake line, do we think the punishment fit the crime? Five days. Mm-hmm. 5 games for Juwan Howard, which is the remainder of their regular season. Some players got a game suspension. Wisconsin, and by the way, Juwan Howard got fined. What was it, like $4? Mm-hmm. I think it was $40,000, but like, isn't that like $4 to him? Like, well, I don't even – $40,000. Juwan Howard made how much? Yeah, he played in the NBA for like 26 years, so I mean – he's got to be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. So $40,000 is just a waste of everybody's time unless it's going to charity, and so good for them. And then Wisconsin's coach gets a $10,000 fine. What did you guys make of the punishment?
I mean, I'm not going to argue. If it was longer, I wouldn't argue about it. You know, I wouldn't make a case for why it should be shorter. And 5 games, which puts them toward the end of the season, or he's gone for the regular season. I'm surprised they didn't suspend him through the Big Ten tournament. That's what I'm surprised. Because, again, this is not the first time. This is the first time that he actually put his hands on someone. But this isn't the first altercation with a coach that he's had. I don't know. I can't remember what happened in the first altercation. It might have just been a fine. But you lose your coach, and because of his actions, now another player or two players, you know, their emotions get out of hand, and now they're suspended. Well, I would have took their two suspensions and added on to his, and wouldn't have suspended the two guys, because yes, they shouldn't have, but it all started because of him. Had he been the responsible adult and shown the leadership and led by example, then his players wouldn't have been in a position where they felt, you know, where everything just escalated and they felt they needed to throw a punch. Not excusing what they did, but your leader, the person that you look up to, throws a punch and the melee starts, and now your emotions and everything are set off and you throw a punch. Whether you connect or not, you threw one. Well, if they got suspended, each one of those guys, for a game, then that should be two extra games added to his suspension. Again, if it was longer, I wouldn't have. I'm not here to disagree with it, but I do believe just suspending him until the end of the season, I mean, again, that's not doing anything, because this is his second infraction. It's not the first time. This is the second time he's allowed his emotions, whether it be verbally or now physically, get the best of him.
I agree with you 100%, Derek, that if he just has better conduct, then his players never would have, it just never would have escalated like that. But at the same time, I think you can't ignore that a couple of those guys threw some pretty hard punches. It happened. So you have to take the action. You can't ignore it. And what's interesting is they've got five games left, and they need to do really well in the five to have a chance to make the NCAA tournament. It would be very disappointing if they did not at least make the NCAA tournament, given the preseason predictions and what they did last year. But now they're going to be without their coach. All of the games could go either way. All of the games they play against quality opponents. They got four out of the five at home where they can be really, really good. But they're all games that they could lose too. So it may be the difference of them getting into the tournament or not getting into the tournament. What happened there? Another thing that was interesting about it is they fined the Wisconsin coach $10,000. A lot of people were wondering about that. And if you notice, the AD stepped up and said, "I'll pay the fine." And I think without saying it in his statement, it was basically, "This is BS. I don't think I should ask our coach to pay this. I don't think he did anything wrong." And so Wisconsin is going to foot the bill for him.
He probably shouldn't have put his hands on him. Mm-hmm. I think that would be, you know, my only complaint on his end. Like, I don't care about the whole pressing the timeouts. Like, get over it. Like, honestly, get over it, coaches. Yeah. Like, I'm so tired of that nonsense. You don't like it? Tough. You know, win the game. You know, don't play from behind. By the way, your season hasn't gone very well. So maybe that's part of your frustration. That's not his fault. So, well, it is, actually, because he beat you. So he did play a part in that. But I didn't like that he touched him. You know, maybe he shouldn't have put his hands on him. Maybe he said, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about this." Whatever. You know how I feel. I said yesterday, like, you just can't do this as a head coach. Like, I don't care. Unless something really, really bad or egregious was said, right, that we find out that he was way out of line, Wisconsin coach, with what he said, then I may have a different approach, and none of that has come out, right? It's kind of like the whole Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett, which, by the way, whatever happened with that? We had some pretty serious accusations put out there, and was there ever a follow-up?
I guess not. Nothing happened
to
Rudolph.
That's pretty serious stuff you put out there, Myles Garrett, and, like, there's –
Well, they never found anything. No, right. They never found any real evidence that what he was saying was true, but, you know, it looked like they asked around and didn't really get anybody to back up Myles Garrett.
Well, he should be – something should happen to him. Like, you can't be throwing that stuff out. That's wrong. If that didn't happen, like, you can't say that.
Yeah.
And the same thing for Wisconsin's coach. Like, if you said something really inappropriate, like, okay, then we got to have a different discussion. But that has not – there's been nothing of the sort put out there. Juwan Howard, you're the head coach at Michigan, not Michigan Tech Community College. Not that it makes it any easier or better. It's still wrong. You're the leader of men. But you're the head coach at Michigan. You can't be taking swings or pulling hair, whatever you were trying to do, after a game. Like, you can't do that. To me, five games is really laughable. It's a joke. I said it yesterday, and I still feel that way. I would be perfectly fine if they shut him down for the season. Like, your season is over.
Yeah, I wouldn't have argued if he was done until the NCAA tournament, if indeed they made it. I wouldn't have been one bit disappointed or surprised. And then you got to think about the parents of the kids who got suspended. They're probably thinking, like, you put my son in this situation.
Yes.
Like,
by the way,
seriously.
Derek, along those lines, how do you think Juwan Howard moving forward recruiting-wise, because you know all these coaches, you know, you lived it. Mm-hmm. These coaches get in the living rooms and they tell mom and dad and brother and sister, I'm going to take care of your son. I'm going to show him how to be a man. I'm going to show him how to be a responsible adult. Like, all this life lessons and, you know, all the stuff that they say in living rooms. You know, like, basically, it's more than just coach him up. It's more about being his coach. It's more about, you know, showing him the ropes as he becomes a young adult. Well, how's he going to sell that in the room? Oh, this is how you lead by example? This is how you show kids to, you know, behave? They're supposed to follow you? You're the one that couldn't even keep your cool. You're the head coach. You took a swing at an assistant coach? Really? Yeah. You grabbed the coach? What are you going to teach my son? Don't you think maybe down the road that
he's got a lot of cleaning up to
do. I was going to say, don't you think that could be an issue in somebody's living room?
Possibly.
Or living rooms?
Possibly.
Really, coach? What are you going to teach my kid?
Other coaches are going to use it against them.
Yes, they are. You're right. You know how that works.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
You know darn well that's how that's going to play out. All right, let's Willie, why don't you tell everybody about Lee Company?
All right, let's talk Lee Company, 615-567-1000. The phone number to always remember. We're down here in Sunrise, Florida. The Predators taking on the Panthers tonight. A powerhouse team, a tough assignment for Nashville. Our radio coverage begins at 5 o'clock. Here on 102.5 The Game, Lee Company, a big sponsor of our radio coverage of the Nashville Predators. Big week coming up, of course, with the Pekka celebration and the stadium series. And Lee Company also has all of their array of services. Now, down here, I can tell you I'm cranking up the AC in my room. It is quite warm outside. It's a beautiful day in the Sunshine State. We're not quite there yet in our Nashville listening area. But soon enough, you'll be running that air conditioner. And the question that Lee Company has for you: when's the last time you had your air conditioning checked? If you haven't, it's time to get the checkup. And while you're at it, ask about the home maintenance plan that Lee Company offers, where you get that year-round service of your air conditioning, your heating unit, your plumbing and electrical services. Keep on top of things at your house, and you will reap the benefits long-term. You'll save some money. Ask about that home maintenance plan, 615-567-1000 for Lee Company, or go to leecompany.com and check it out. Lee Company, proud sponsor, Nashville Predators.
Hey, guys, happy Jordan Tutu and Derrick Henry Day. So I just wanted to tell you guys that.
Is this Vanilla Ice?
If you listen really closely, there's some minor differences, but it's not Vanilla Ice.
No, it would be Queen.
So, with David Bowie.
Yeah.
Yep, 2-2-22, Darren. I read you. I knew you were going with that.
Derrick was very quiet.
Or no. 222-22, I should say.
222-22.
Ah.
So, happy Jordan Tutu and Derrick Henry Day, everybody.
Well, it's really Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, and Jordan Tutu.
So, can I play the lottery or something today?
Yeah, but Julio doesn't have the skins on the wall in this market.
Yeah, he didn't start as two anyway.
He didn't, right, and he doesn't have the skins in this market to get included in that. Jordan Tutu and Derrick Henry do.
Yeah. Dan Hamuse.
You don't want his two to be in there. No skins.
Dan Hamuse, yeah, he's got the skins in the wall in this market.
Two?
22? He was two.
Rob Baronis, too?
Baronis.
He's got the skins, certainly. You're right. I should have included Rob Baronis and Dan Hamuse. Anybody else?
Sonny Gray at Vanderbilt was number two.
Okay. Well, if it was 22-21, then we had Willie Donick.
Hey, that was my day. I missed my day.
Or 2-21-22. You missed the day yesterday, Willie.
Yeah. Wait, I missed it last year.
Just trying to give you some love, Willie. We can't leave you out.
Hey, I'm with you, D-Mace. Thank you. I appreciate
the
love.
Can't leave you out. No doubt.
Man, it's got a word that they call this. I'm trying to remember. I was reading about this last night. What was it? Palindrome or something like that, where it's, you know, the next one will be three. Well, I guess.
No, the next one, it'll be a while.
I guess to say you can't get 3-33-33.
Yeah,
yeah, you can't.
Unless they extend March. 33 days.
Hey, we love March Madness. Give us a little extra.
In 33, we have extended March Madness by 2 days.
Just so we can have one of those.
I think it was palindrome. I think that's what I read. Palindrome, something like that.
Hey, listeners, text us.
Yeah, they know the answers.
Tweet us.
Smart listeners. You know,
you'll give us the answer in about 10 seconds, I'm sure.
2-22-22.
I like the sequence, the number sequence. If I were in the movie, that'd be huge. I forget what movie that was with Nicolas Cage in it, where the little kid, he figured out the numbers within, it was a invasion, like a alien invasion.
They find like the numbers in a time capsule or
something
like that.
Yeah, the time capsule, yes. I forget that movie. God, it was a really good movie, even though I'm not a huge Nicolas Cage fan, but that was a good movie.
I don't think he's friends with the IRS.
Yeah, a lot of people are not friends with the IRS. No. I don't think any one of us like the IRS.
No.
But we got to pay. I'm not friends with them, definitely, but got to pay.
Was it Snipes? He had issues with the IRS, didn't he? Hey.
Red Fox, yeah. Red Fox. Hey, we know. Hey, it's been a bunch of people who had problems with the IRS. Yep. Not my friend, but hey, just because I'm not your friend doesn't mean I don't have to engage with you.
Yeah.
You
keep a professional relationship.
Yeah, just keep it professional. That's all. Can't come over for dinner. No drinks. No.
Mark from Clarksville, you ask and you shall receive. Palindrome.
Palindrome. Day. Oh. Yeah. See, we got some smart listeners out there.
It was close, or I was kind of on it. Somebody else, don't see a name. Jason in Clarksville on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Same thing. Is it Palindrome Day? So when would be the next one?
Oh, man. Will it be? That's it, right?
Right?
No. Yes, that's it.
That's it.
There's no more.
Not until
no more unless they start adding days to the month.
Till we're all worm food.
Exactly.
Well, you got to get to 3,000, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Then 3,000, 3,000.
33, or I don't know.
So treasure palindrome day. Just treasure it. Because I guess it'll be the only time we see it in our lifetime.
Yeah that's it.
You'll have 1101, right, and 3,001?
I guess, yeah. But again, like you said, your lifetime. Enjoy it while I was here. The day, today, that's it.
Yep.
Now our kids might see it, you know, moving forward, God willing, but us, it's it.
I'm thinking of now Robin Williams in the movie. So seize the day, right? Carpe diem. We got to seize this day. It's the last one for a while. 2-22-22. It's all about the deuces.
Hey, I was. No, that was cutting edge, Willie, right there. That was cutting edge.
Cutting edge, Donick.
There we go.
All about
that's the Willie
deuces.
I know right there.
Surprised he didn't say, peace out. Talk to you tomorrow. It's all about the deuces.
I was watching ESPN during a break, and they were talking about notable free agents and who to keep and who not to keep in the price tag. And they were mentioning the Titans and obviously Harold Landry bringing him back. And they were talking about franchise tags and them paying Bud Dupree the money that they paid that Bud Dupree. I think it was 80 something million. The franchise tag might just be too much for the Titans to swallow at this particular time. So they may try to work out a deal quickly or just not franchise him at $17.4 million. Would he be worth the $17.4 million? Based on his career here, I don't think so. But, hey, if you can get it, then get it. But I don't know if the Titans are going to swallow that pill for a franchise tag on a guy that, you know, he played his best season his last season. So it'd be interesting to see how they navigate with the franchise tag, which starts when? Next week?
Oh, today.
Today is today?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought it didn't start until March for some reason, the 1st of March. So, yeah. They can franchise him, but I don't think they're going down that route. So you don't want to be on a hook for $17 million and not be able to get a deal done before the season starts. You know? So see what they're going
to
do.
I think it would make a lot of sense to use the tag because it doesn't mean you can't, you know, strike a deal eventually. Right? I just think you don't want to lose them. So you've got that at your disposal to tag him and then go to work on it as you've work on other things.
What if you can't work out a deal though?
Well, then you got to be willing at the end of the day to say, okay, if I can't, I've got to squeeze them in at that number this year. So you have to have plan A, plan B. So you got to end up cutting another player or two. But I think he's enough of a priority. I think he is a priority.
Yes. I think he's their number one priority, at least on their team. As far as free agents on their team, yes, he's the number one priority. But franchising him, putting that tag on him at 17 and a half, you got to know you're going to work out a deal if you're going to put that tag on him.
You would think. Yeah. One would think. All right, we'll come back, put a bow on Tuesday's edition of Darren Donica Chase next. Don't forget, fans, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock hour, Smashville Live. You know the drill, every Wednesday during the 6 o'clock hour. You can watch the show on the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Smashville Live every week brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Speaking of that, Darren McFarland, Derek Mason here, Elijah Campbell, Hillside Medical Game Studio, Willie Donick down in Sunrise, Florida, Predators and Panthers tonight, 6 o'clock, Puck Drop, P. Weber, and Hal Gill will have the call. I'll have pregame for you at 5, everything heard right here on these airwaves. Over on the television side, Bally Sports, Willie and his crew will start their coverage at 5:30. What did you learn? We talked to David Poyle today, and he told us, I'll just start there, and then you can take it from there. He told us that, and jump in there, D-Mace, if I'm speaking out of turn, I want to make sure I heard him correctly, that Mark Borowiecki and Nick Cousins would not be available this week for their games, you know, their big games. This is a big week. Florida, Dallas, Tampa, and then kind of felt like things would be reevaluated and they could be more ready to return. But I don't think he said – I think he said they would not be available this week.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything definitive. I know that Mark Borowiecki is not on the trip. Neither is – I didn't expect Nick Cousins. You could see that I think – they said week to week to start with. I think we weren't really sure – exactly what to expect after Friday when Borowiecki left the game, but he's not here, so he won't be in there. I believe you'll see Phil Myers in the lineup tonight. He's been, you know, trying to get himself in there. This is a big test for him and really the entire team, but particularly on defense. You've got a team tonight that averages over 4 goals a game and is a dominant team at home.
Number one team in the league, goals for.
Yep, they're absolutely explosive, and then particularly down here, they're 23-3. They've won 9 straight at home. So this is a tall order tonight, and they'll be without a couple of veterans in there. So it's going to be an even younger team. It's, you know, it's a young team to begin with. You take out a couple of wily vets in Cousins and Borowiecki, and you know, I think you're going to have some rookies that'll be in the fire tonight, or not rookies, but you're going to have some younger players in the fire tonight. We'll see how they handle themselves.
Let me clarify real quick, D-Mix, before you jump in there. David Poyle said Borowiecki, we know, not on the trip, but could return later this week.
That's what I kind of heard, so I don't know.
Sorry,
I think they're still evaluating his situation from I'm told. Yeah.
Yeah, he could play later in the week. He then went on to say Nick Cousins with the lower body injury will not play this week, but could be ready to travel with the team next week.
Now, he also, if I'm correct, there's no rest inside, at least not this week, for Yusi. I know there's, you know, him giving up, you know, goals in the last four or five games. And granted, all of them wasn't his fault. But the goal tally is high the last, four or five games. And, you know, him, is he tired? Does he need rest? But I guess it's difficult, especially this week, to get any rest with the opponents you're going to face in the next, you know, three days. So rest for him doesn't seem like it's coming, at least not this week.
Well, I think that's something to watch for tonight is I do think they're wrestling with, you know, is it time to give him a little bit of a break? You know that starting next week, it's the merry-go-round starts and you don't get off the ride even if you want to. You got all kinds of games coming up. I think we were doing the math on this last night. I'll see if I can get the specific stat here. But, you know, in the month of February, it's amazing how few games they've played. I mean, you feel it, Darren. Like, it's like, wow, we haven't had many games. So they played leading up to tonight. They've played 7 games in 30 days. And in the next 30 days, they will play 14. So the workload is a lot heavier. You're going to need David Rittich in the equation a lot more. And so I do think there's a chance you might see UC Saros get a mental break. You know, and so, you know, it's pick your poison. When would you want to give him that break? You certainly... Like you said, Darren, there's no easy game that you can say, well, let's give David Rittich a game against an easy team. That doesn't really exist anytime soon. But you might just have to throw him into the fire and see how he reacts, because one way or the other, I think you're going to need some mileage out of David Rittich. This is why you signed him. You need a backup for UC Saros to play some key games. I think Saros will be fine over the long haul, but... that's just another element that I think you would be looking for somewhere along here is when does Rittich go back in and is he ready to go when he gets his number called?
Yeah, because I asked David, I said, UC, you started 42 of your 50 games. Are you comfortable with that workload? And we both, you know, all of us know there's no way UC Searle's not playing Thursday and Saturday. There's no chance of that. So if you were entertaining it, albeit against a really good team and a tough place to play, you could certainly see, you know, Rittich tonight, because you know it's not going to be the next two games, right? There's no chance of that, so we shall see. Willie, enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. D-Mace, thank you as always. Talk to you tomorrow. I know you'll be back in the saddle tomorrow. Everybody keep aware, close eye on the weather today. Lots of rain, could be some flooding. Just want you to be cognizant of it. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We shall see you then.